Mini episode 1626 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1626. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, my good pal, 10-time author and Sportsology proprietor, Russ Cohen. Of course, we recently did our Stanley Cup final preview as well as a Stanley Cup playoffs preview a couple of weeks ago here. We are here to bookend both of those now that the playoffs and the final are done. Vegas winning in five over Florida, and of course, Russ and I correctly predicting that Vegas would win the Stanley Cup, and both of us predicting that Jonathan Marchessault would be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, and again, a series that had a lot of memorable moments to it here, not the most memorable of Stanley Cup finals all throughout, necessarily with the action. It only went five games. Some of the games, like the last one, not particularly competitive, but a lot of memorable moments along the way, and Russ, it had to be memorable for you being out in Las Vegas for the beginning of the series.
Yeah, it was. I had a real good feel for the town. I have a cousin out there, so he was telling me, and you know, I attended like all the other availabilities that you have, pre-game, off day, that kind of stuff, and it really, you know, once you're in the locker room with a team, you kind of get a feel for it. So I knew they were a tight group, the Vegas group. And, yeah, I don't think the Marchessault pick was that crazy, but I know everybody loves Jack Eichel now again, and sure, he had the most points, and I get it, and Stone did really well. But just, you know, I saw early on that, even before the Cup, that Marchessault was scoring some really important goals, so I just figured he was going to stay hot. And he did, because I know what kind of player he is, and that is the kind of player he is. Was impressed by the team, for sure. Aiden Hill, just, you know, best run of his life. I don't think he's in a different category now as a goalie. I just think he went on a little run, and that's fine. But the team was really good. It was one of the only teams that I could tell you in recent memory that only had one drafted player, and that's odd. Mm-hmm. And that's just because of all the deals they've had to make along the way. So, yeah, all that said, you know, they had some of the originals. I don't like calling them the misfits, but people do. So.
Sure.
I never wrote it. I just didn't like it. Like, I understood why all of us said at the beginning, hey, it's an expansion team, we don't expect it to win. And it started winning, and we were all kind of freaked out by it. But I still don't want to call players misfits, even if it's in the nicest possible way. So I just don't use the terminology.
Sure. Well, and I will say, a professional colleague of mine who lives out there and who was very impressed that we had predicted correctly who was going to win and that Marchessault was going to be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, reminded me of the whole thing here too. And it's so hard to delineate how these off ice things can necessarily happen. But I mean, in the very formative days, literally the formative days of this franchise on the ice, is when you had that tragic massacre out there. I think it was October 1st, 2017, and the way that this team was sort of bonded to the community's heart right off the bat with its response on and off the ice to the community. So there are things that can kind of take things to another level sometimes here too. I mean, I have always felt like, and I would guess that you would feel the same way, that 98 Red Wings team coming off of the limo accident the previous year and playing for Vladdy and the other two guys, I mean, there are just things that drive teams sometimes that are just above and beyond. And what my coworker had told me about, you know, that mood in Vegas and everything like that, the way it carried over the first year. And then sometimes success begets success, Russ. You get off to that start the first year, and they've kept this run going for 6 years now.
Yeah, except they didn't make the playoffs last year, right? And that
True.
Was something that
Closer.
Sort of interrupted it. Close. But, yeah, I think they really are that town's team. And that's the biggest deal. Like, the Raiders aren't. And part of it's because they came from somewhere else.
Right.
So same thing's going to happen with the A's. You know, people sell out the Raiders games. I don't know if they're going to sell out the A's games, only because that's an awful lot of games. I think is going to be a tougher thing to do. But as far as the Golden Knights go, that's their team, man. That's the one that they're going to first.
Yeah.
And the fact that they won now, they're completely solidified. Even if they go through a retooling at some point, which they probably will in the next couple of years, they're in good standing with the fans. These fans now have a lot of memories, a lot to look forward to, a lot to look back on, just a giant party at these games, and they really enjoy it. Now, the one thing, and I was taught this when I was out there, and it's true, you know, those players have never been booed by these fans.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will continue, like, in the next 5 years, or maybe they will just be Cardinals fans and they just never boo their team. It's possible.
It's possible. It is entirely possible. But when you look at it here, in terms of, by the way, motivationally as well, Marchessault, when you look at where he came from prior to the Knights here, any extra impetus for him? I mean, you wouldn't think it would be necessary. You got a chance to play for the Cup, finish the job they couldn't finish in 2018. But a little something extra there for him finishing against the Panthers?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, there's always motivation. And it's funny, for game two, I had a chance to – we got kicked out of our area where we were in the building. We were like out in a tent and we had to go back inside and guys were playing soccer as they normally do. So I had to go in a different entrance and I was going in with like Marchessault's family and, you know, and I could see the kids and the wife and I think the mother was there and, you know, they're all getting ready to watch their guy play and, you know, and I had a good feeling about it for them. And so it was kind of cool. And he was a former, Ranger, as you know, he didn't really play much with them. He was more a Hartford guy, but
right.
You know, a lot of teams passed on him, and I did like him. I did think there was some talent there, but it's just he never got a chance. So yeah, I think Florida's one of those teams, but there's a few others.
Yeah, and in looking at it here too, looking at Pietrangelo getting a second cup under these circumstances here, it's kind of funny because you know you've had these teams the last couple of years. The teams that had won between St. Louis and Vegas, they're kind of the, if you will, kind of like, I use the term wallpaper, sort of the wallpaper bookends, but Tampa Bay and Colorado, certainly more splashy and spectacular seeming in the talent on the roster there. And it's just kind of like, I know they're not going to trade Pietrangelo, but I'm at a loss right now to think of, like, who would be that wallpaper team if he did get traded right now? Who's the team that's got, like, a lot of guys that a lot of people sleep on, and maybe they don't have quite the high-end talent? I mean, I know Vegas has got Eichel, but outside of that, nobody that's, like, high-end. I can't think of any other team in the league right now that's like that. If they traded for Pietrangelo tomorrow, he could fit in and be the third straight wallpaper cup that he wins.
Maybe Edmonton?
Aren't they sort of the opposite of what I'm talking? I mean, that's very flashy talent they have, though.
It's flashy talent, but they do need that guy.
Sure.
No, there's nobody with, like, not flashy talent that
right.
I can come up with.
Right. No. I mean, that's, I mean, Carolina, but I mean, they still got Aho.
They still have a lot of talent.
Yeah, too. Yeah. There's nobody, like, really, like, in that kind of a way.
No.
Another observation that I had coming off of this here, and this was somewhat based on listening to Ryan Russillo, him and Bill Simmons were breaking down about the Celtics and about, you have to think back. I mean, the Celtics first made the Eastern Conference playoffs in the finals in this run in 2017 and how long it's been trying to get over the hump, and that historically teams are not in a good shape to do that the way that Boston is trying to do it now. You look at the NHL, I looked at this here, teams that fit the criteria of what Vegas was coming off of in the previous 5 years, losing in the Cup Final and losing in a Conference Final. It's only been done twice since 1982, but those times were Vegas, of course, and prior to that, Tampa Bay, who had lost in the Cup Final in 2015 and then in the Conference Final in between in there. So if you're Dallas, which is the only team in the league right now that fits those criteria, you could either be despondent saying, oh, it's only been done twice in 40 years, or you could look at it and say, oh, it's been done twice in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it. And Dallas has been there each year. But then each year they kind of like just can't seem to put it all together. I don't know if they'll have the cap space to be able to make a move that is going to put them over the top without their core, which is, you know, banged up and aging.
Yes.
Getting a little worse off. So I don't think it's the same for them.
Yeah, probably not. And in looking at it here for the Knights, looking at their situation, again, it is a little bit of a different situation with the NHL than it is with the NBA landscape right now, because right now there are a number of us that are prepared to install Denver as a pretty prohibitive favorite heading into next year, because arguably had their core been healthy the last couple of years, this could have been the three-peat season for them. You saw them at full health and they bulldozed everybody. So even if they lose a player or two health-wise, they're probably still good enough to win it all, versus Vegas, you look at it and it's like, oh, they're absolutely on a short list of teams that could win next year, but certainly not anybody that anybody would install as a prohibitive favorite, particularly when you consider the season that Boston is coming off of, albeit I think it's going to be very hard to replicate that. Colorado,
and you might lose somebody to retirement, we don't know yet.
Yes, yes, and Colorado being the defending champion and looking strong before they had injuries. Tampa Bay, which might be actually a little bit paradoxically refreshed from not having a deep playoff run this year. So, I mean, if you're Vegas, I mean, you're one of a number of teams that are very good going into next year, but certainly not standing astride the sport heading into next year the way that Denver is.
No, the odd thing is they did it with, like, their fourth goalie in Aiden Hill, and next year they'll have Logan Thompson back and Robin Leonard.
Like, yeah.
Remember, they went out and got him, too.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You can make the argument that they'll be in better shape that way. So, they're going to be in the mix. They'll be in the mix. I don't think they're going to lose too much in the offseason. I don't think they can add much, but I don't think they're in bad shape.
Well, they're going to lose money for Kessel and Quick and basically some money that was unproductive. So, I mean, you've got some of that coming off the cap. But, yeah, I mean, listen, if they have enough to re-sign Aiden Hill, you know, I think they'll probably count their blessings right now. Is it a possibility of re-signing Aiden Hill and maybe moving a goalie? Because there are certainly enough teams out in the league that need a goalie right now.
Yeah, they could move Leonard, I guess, if they were to eat some salary. Maybe that's the way they're going to go and go with Thompson and Hill. That's possible. Because, you know, Thompson really would have, you know, when he, I guess it was his groin, got hurt that second time, he was playing really well.
Right.
And they were going to go with him for sure.
Right.
And then they were lucky that Hill just did what he did. So, yeah, I could see them doing that if they can get a buyer for Leonard.
Yes, if possible, like you said. They probably got to eat something in return, but they might be willing to do that. This is a thing where I do know Perry, just, you know, sample size of just a few people talking to him during the final. They were the folks who kind of sympathized with my point of view on this, that some of the chippiness that came in here and the perception, at least on my part, of Tkachuk being targeted the way that he was. Anything in the way of dirty play by Vegas to help expedite this outcome that you're prepared to label?
No, I don't think there was any real dirty play per se. I mean, I think, honestly, I think Florida was more the initiators of it. And then when they did it, Vegas just gave it to them back twofold, right? Like,
yeah.
I think Vegas was willing to play their game to try and win the Stanley Cup and probably knew they could do it. And Florida kind of figured, we're going to have to really dirty this up to try and win the Cup. And so when they did that, they got pounded and, you know, they just fell apart. Like, they just didn't have enough. And, you know, by that last game, they just fell apart. So I think Vegas was prepared to play that. And that's why you saw, like, Keaton Kolesar in the lineup. But they weren't the real initiators of it. Now, what they were the initiators of was just hard play and good defense and a lot of that. And there's always dirty hits in every game.
So, right.
Like, you know.
Yeah, there always is. And and looking at this here at the end, I mean, you knew it was going to be a spectacle, you know, having the Cup awarded in Vegas with any of the special touches that come with that. And very, very clear from watching as the Conn Smythe is being awarded and the Stanley Cup is being awarded, very clear, shining through the TV, the utter joy of Gary Bettman. Like, best day ever for him, right? A Sun Belt team wins the cup at Vegas, no less. He's not getting booed handing out the cup for the first time in 30 years. I mean, that guy was having one of the best days of his life.
That's true. Normally he's got that heel thing going and he likes it. And he didn't have to do it this time. It is really odd, but no, you're right. I mean, this is, he's never going to do that with Arizona, though. So let's be realistic.
That's right. That's right, but yeah.
You know, look, the Sun Belt, I'm not against the Sun Belt. There's so many of these hockey purists that are, but I'm not. I mean, a lot of these, you know, I've been down to Carolina and covered the cup there. I've covered the cup twice in Tampa. I mean, these are good markets now. And so I don't have any qualms about it. Is Florida a great market? No, it showed a little better in the playoffs, but it's still not a great market. And, you know, Arizona's not a great market, but you know, there's been some really good ones that they added, so I'm not going to kill them.
Sun Belt markets, I mean, and I can't think of one of them that doesn't live up to what I'm about to say right now. I mean, they're good if the team's good. I mean, if when they got a winner, hey, there's nothing wrong with it, whatever. When the team is down and out, then it becomes a reminder of why hockey can be a little bit challenging in the South. So it's
all going to be... The only thing I'll say is I don't think Tampa ever was that way. Because Tampa played like a horrible stadium before they got to play.
That's true.
They played in the Thunderdome. And so I think things just got better naturally there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they only have fans because they're good. Carolina, we saw when they were bad, they didn't have good fan base. We know that.
Right.
Now, we don't know if they went back to being bad, what would happen. But I think they're pretty solidified at this point. So I think I'm going to say it's 50-50 on that one. It really does depend on the area.
Well, and here is something to plug here for folks to stay tuned for. So in our upcoming Pro Hockey Draftology 2023, soon to be available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com and available through Sportsology, powered, of course, the backbone of it being Russ's work with his scouting and his columns of the last couple of months here, that being the backbone of it. I have a couple of just columns that I'm dropping in there myself, and one of them is going to be, I actually went inside the numbers on this whole, the last 30 years, Sun Belt versus Canada. Like, obviously, Sun Belt, what, 9, Canada 0 on the cups. But then, here's the thing.
Yeah, people in Canada could have figured that one out in a minute.
Well, but here's the thing, though, and I'm just going to tease this out here. It gets uglier when you factor in how many times a Sun Belt team has been to the finals versus a Canadian team. And it gets uglier still when you factor in how many times a Sun Belt team has been to the conference finals versus a Canadian team. So it's like that's just the tip of the iceberg, Russ. Just the Canadian teams have not been getting deep at all here, much less hoisting the cup. And some of that comes from teams like Toronto being underachievers over the years, obviously, but there are other factors. There's one other thing, and I tease this out to you off air. This is a little, editorial type column that I'm putting in there. I don't necessarily expect you to agree with me on this, but what I'm an advocate of right now that you're back to 32 teams, I don't like the divisional playoff thing. Do it like the NBA does, 1-8. I don't get what's so sacrosanct about the divisional rivalries here. You know, is it that we need to protect the territorial integrity? Look at the repeat series we've had the last couple of years. Edmonton, LA, Tampa Bay, Toronto. What is so sacrosanct geographically about that just because they're in the same division, right? Open it up 1-8. You wouldn't have these Milwaukee-Miami series in the NBA that have been memorable the last couple of years if you did it. You wouldn't have had all these Detroit-Colorado series if it was divisional playoffs. I say free it, Russ Cohen. Open it up 1-8. I knew you wouldn't agree with me.
No, it's an easy take. I know people who have been trying to sell this for a while.
Okay.
Here's the issue. The issue is the NHL wants to be super relevant in those early rounds of the playoffs.
Okay.
And the only way they're going to do that is with this format, which has amazing first-round matchups. And you have to admit, there are amazing first-round matchups. Like, Rangers-Devils was a must-see matchup. I mean, you don't get that without this format. So, no, I'm not buying it. I don't care how many times the Leafs are going to lose to the same team. Just beat the team. Be better. Like, that's my answer, and it's not always going to be the answer that by the time the cup comes around, it's not as good. I don't believe that. Now, this one could have been a little more competitive, but there were some really good games. I think the thing that remains the same is, you know, the sacrifice of these players just to get through the season is incredible. And now at least Vegas won, so if they have to start out the first month or so without some players, they could live with it. But Florida's going to be without Tkachuk, and they're going to be without Gudas maybe, and a couple of players early on next year, and that's going to hurt them. Like, that's, you know.
True.
So I think leave it the way it is. You look too much, too deep into this.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I can't believe I'm saying this because you're the one that's the Ranger fan, but I think there's something wrong with the game when only the Rangers or the Devils are getting out of the first round. They both had excellent seasons here. I don't think it's fair to those teams to match them up in the first round. I think you always have divisions that are kind of lopsided and, you know, as far as like, well, this team's only making it to the second round because they were in a weaker division. Both of those teams caught like a heinously bad first round matchup. That's a matchup that at minimum should have been in the second round, I feel like. I don't think your Rangers should have had to have had that matchup in the first round, Russ.
I mean, no, I disagree. I mean, when you're watching, I don't know, the WWE Elimination Chamber, did you ever think that, wow, that guy shouldn't be there? He doesn't belong there. And boy, it's really unfair, or like in the Royal Rumble, it's really unfair that this guy went first or this guy went, you know, 15th, like it matters.
Okay.
Like, it's just, no, I don't think it matters.
Well, I might be the wrong guy to mention that, too. I'm predominantly watching the other major promotion these days.
AEW,
because,
yeah.
As we know, Saturday night's all right for fighting, but
I liked it. I'm getting into them a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
So they're a good promotion. They're doing some good things. I think watching their documentary, I have a little bit of respect for Tony Khan, at least on the wrestling level, not for the Jaguars because they just stink.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and he's stretching himself thin, in Fulham,
yes.
Running them over there as well. But it was... I know I've told the story on the show before, and I think with you, but like he was doing a media interview for AEW one time, and they wanted to talk Jaguars, and he just kind of blurted out something like, "I'm the guy that discovered James Robinson." I guess it was like his analytics, I guess, that like
made him go after. He was on the Jets for 10 minutes last year too. So.
Yeah, I was just like. You know, it was very endearing to hear something like that. He just kind of blurted it out. But they were asking him about the Jags in the lead up to the Arthur Ashe show, which, of course, he wanted to talk about. And that was during the Urban Meyer stuff, which, of course, he didn't want to talk about. Both of which
right.
Really understandable.
Yeah, they've had some bad times there. But,
yeah,
you know,
they have
maybe
indeed.
Doug Peterson will help him out.
Yes. They're on the right track there, certainly. But, you know, in looking at it, I mean, one of the few things he's not weighed down by doing at this point is managing an NHL team that his dad owns. But give it time. I mean, they might get into that perhaps as well. But, you know, as far as it goes here, again, should be a very interesting landscape with the draft coming up July 1st. Not a ton of, like, big hitters on the market here. A lot of names, a lot of guys who've had cup experience, great cup experience, but as far as what they can give you right now, you know, not a whole lot of
There's
moving.
There's going to be a lot of goalies, though. All of a sudden, goalies are being shopped. So,
yeah.
You know, Connor Hellebuck, John Gibson, those are pretty big names.
Yeah, they are. They are, and they should be in a position to make some coin.
I mean, Hellebuck would want to play for your Red Wings, but I don't know if they're going to do that since they have Huso signed and Sebastian Kosha down the road, but, you know, who knows? You never know.
Yeah, although, yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, though, I'm at the point now where I'm kind of like, and I know, that, you know, it all depends on what specific year it is, right? Like, July 1st, a lot of years, like this year, there's not a lot of big guys available, but, like, you know, I'm old enough to remember when we were making serious noise on July 1st and the days afterwards, and it's just like, aren't we back at that point yet here? Like, can't we just go get the pieces we need? I mean, I know the cap situation is still kind of screwed, in terms of what the former guy left behind, but, you know, there were things, too, like, you know.
No, they're in good shape. I think Detroit's in good shape cap-wise, and honestly, they were, you know, sort of at least in the hunt, quote unquote, last year. So, you know, if they do just a little bit better, I think they could be right there. I think this year or next is when they are going to actually make a splash in the free agent market. So, you know, look out for that.
Well, and in my early predictions for next year, I'm predicating it on that expectation. I do believe it's going to happen, but, you know, it's a thing where I do look at it in terms of some of the signings that were made last off season and some of the money that was allocated, and it was just like, I wish maybe some of that had been held back a little more so for some impact guys. But, you know, again, it does take impact guys in this league, because again, I don't think it's a coincidence. Yes. Vegas gets over the top once they've got Jack Eichel, and you know, he's starting to kind of come into his own here at this point.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Pietrangelo and Jack Eichel were the two big pieces.
They were. You know, and Pietrangelo being a guy that, you know, again, as far as, you know, anchoring a blue line that can help get you over the top here. And,
yeah,
you know, him and Martinez with the cup experience in L.A.
Yeah, Martinez has got three cups. I mean,
yeah.
I spoke to him in the locker room, and I was very impressed just the way he was after, like, game one, I think it was, or maybe it was game two. And I wrote about him on Sportsology because I was like, you know, and this Alec Martinez, you know, he's the same guy that beat the Rangers with an overtime goal. He got another big goal in this cup. He's a really, you know, I was thinking that when they got him, he was on the back nine, but he still gave him enough. And he's one of those guys you sort of have to have on the team.
Yeah, exactly. And again, and this core, I mean, it's a veteran core. There's
yes.
a lot of guys late 20s, early 30s. But, I mean, so that's the kind of thing where, but then again, you know, your best player, and probably by a decent margin, is Eichel, and he's younger than that. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that gives you hope for their window looking forward. But, again, over the course of, you know, realistically, I mean, this is a team where, you know, the next two or three years, I think, is where they're going to be looking to make their biggest impact, because
yes.
it's going to be hard to keep this thing going in a straight line past that. There's probably going to have to be some kind of rejiggering done at a certain point here as guys
oh, yeah.
are getting older. But, I mean, again, they're in a nice window. They were able to fully take advantage of it here, and it's one of those things where, again, you know, I said this when we were heading into the final, as far as, you know, wallpaper and everything like that. I mean, I am guilty as heck of underestimating them, because I would have put Colorado, Edmonton, and Dallas ahead of them, you know, in the Western Conference going into the playoffs here. And, you know, Vegas ends up going through two of those three teams, Edmonton and Dallas, before catching Florida in the final. So if there's, even if anybody's looking at it like, well, they got the team with the eighth best record in the East, I don't want to hear any of that, because they beat Edmonton.
No.
They beat Edmonton and Dallas to get there. You can't asterisk this thing in any way. I mean, they beat two of the three teams in the West that I would have had ahead of them, and I think a decent number of people might have had ahead of them. But this is the kind of team that, again, you know, it just, they can be a little bit kind of easy to take for granted, because, you know, the talent that's there is not as flashy by and large. But, man, they just kind of keep coming at you. And the cohesiveness and everything like that, the veteran leadership of a guy like Martinez that you were talking about there's something to be said for that, of having the energy in the locker room of a guy who's been there before and been successful. So, you know, the assembling of this whole thing here, what can I say but chef's kiss? Because as far as putting together a cup winner, you know, it was just a perfect jigsaw puzzle top to bottom, it looks like.
Yeah, and look, the biggest thing was they took the gamble with Eichel and they won. With the whole neck thing, that was an unknown. And so they had the guts, and sometimes you have to have the guts, and they did. So full credit, you know, full credit, like you said, on their run. It did take me a little while to believe in them, because they did have Aiden Hill in net.
Yeah.
And then I saw that Aiden Hill was not going to, you know, turn back into the Aiden Hill that we'd seen in previous years, that this guy was fully confident and they were on a roll. So, but, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to buy into that. It took me a little while.
That's perfectly understandable. Yeah. I mean, you're wanting to see a longer track record than that if you're going to fully believe. But then again, it was a lot easier to believe going into the final, because you got Bobrovsky on the other side, who himself was going through this miracle renaissance this spring.
Yes.
So, you know, when you've got a guy on the other end of the ice where you can believe in them looking at what they're doing here, or you could not believe in them.
And I picked Florida most of the way through, so then I really switched. But I just went with, you know, what I thought I was seeing, and I happened to be right. But, yeah, Florida, you know, all props to them. They got hot at the right time. They really did not have a good first half. They were garbage for a lot of the season, but yeah, they did what they needed to do.
They figured it out. They put it together. They're going to be a force again next year. Again, we know this not just because they were the representative out of the Eastern Conference, champions this past year, but how soon we forget President's Trophy winners a year ago and a big flop against Tampa Bay in the second round of the playoffs. So 2 years in a row, they have been pretty strong. They'll be back next year. And again, they're on a they're definitely on the upswing here. They're building around the right guy in Tkachuk. And it's a thing where in Vegas here, I'm sure this would be more classic overanalyzing to look at it this way, but Eichel and McDavid, are we going to start to get to kind of like are we going to get to a dynamic here of Montana versus Marino? Is that coming up? You know?
Yeah, it's not. Okay. I just think, look, it's just circumstance that Eichel happened to win a cup before McDavid, but
okay.
I don't think there's a thing here.
Okay. All right. Well, it'll be interesting. And there wasn't a whole lot that I saw in the media. Others might have seen it, but I didn't see a whole lot of coverage in that series that they had. There wasn't a whole lot of necessarily focus that I picked up on as far as that goes. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see. One wonders what this will do as far as lighting an even bigger fire under McDavid coming into next year to see the guy going number two, lift one before he does. But, you know, certainly Vegas, I mean, listen, I thought Edmonton would get past them, but I was not in a million years going to tell you Edmonton was a more complete team than Vegas.
Right.
More high-end talent, to be sure, but not more of a complete team. And in the end here, the complete team does it, and that's kind of what I said coming into the final here, is that, like, you know, a grinder, working class kind of a team, stylistically. They just happen to play in Las Vegas. But it's the team with the heart of like a grinder that gets it done in the end here. And, you know, they just really, you know, exemplified what can be done with, you know, hard work, the right attitude, cohesiveness. And, you know, the most un-Vegas team stylistically that I can think of. But, man, the heart of a champion there to get this thing done in the end.
Yeah, absolute heart of the champion. They had to go through a lot to do it. Very impressed, and we'll see. Like next year, if they could, you know, be this team again, wow. Then, you know, then you're talking in Tampa territory and everything else. But you know, I'm not going to look too far forward right now.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's going to be interesting to see. We know both of these teams are going to be at least vaguely in the mix here next year. I think both of us, you know, might have a pretty good degree of confidence that they would both be in at least the second round of the playoffs next year, but that's as far as I'm willing to go. So we shall see how it all plays out. But always is great breaking it down with you, my man, Russ Coe. And thank you so much for being on here today to break it down. I'm glad you got a chance to get out there and enjoy the town and cover the first part of the series.
Yeah, it was great. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, put the cap on a nice season, but I'm still busy with the draft.
That's right. That's right. The draft stuff is going to be coming up. People need to keep monitoring Sportsology and catching your hits on NHL Network Radio to be able to catch that as it goes along here. So continue to check out my man's coverage there. And like I said, it is the backbone of Pro Hockey Draftology 2023, available this week through Sportsology and fantasydrafthelp.com. Look for that by later in the week. Pro Hoops Draftology a little bit earlier in the week coming out. I just finished my mock draft there, Russ, so my head is still swimming from having done all of that. So I think I knew who to put number one in that one at least. So
Number one's okay.
Yeah. No, it got a little tougher after that. But
That's a lot tougher, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. But anyways, yeah, thank you so much, Russ, and thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1626.